You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
We don't hear many good things about Mexico these days. The news is all about drug gangs and illegal immigration, and lost in the negative press of the beauty of much of the country, its fascinating multicultural pre- and post-Columbian history, its great art traditions, the generosity and genius of its people, and the fact that it boasts one of the world's greatest and most varied cuisines. Father Miguel Hidalgo proclaimed independence from Spain nearly 200 years ago on September 16, 1810, but we thought we would jump the gun a bit on the bicentennial celebration, just a month actually, and look at the underreported side of Mexico today. And joining me now is Mexico's proudest booster in this city, as far as I can tell, the noted restaurateur Zarela Martinez. Hi.
It's great
Welcome
to be
back.
Here. Thank you. It's wonderful.
Is it difficult for you to reconcile those two images of Mexico, of the rich culture, with the stories of murderous drug gangs, serial killings, corrupt politicians?
Well, you know, I tend to look through pink colored eyeglasses at everything, you know, and one of my missions this life is to make my culture known and understood. And I have a lot of venues to do that, and I'm having a great time. You know, I'm on the board of the Mexican Cultural Institute, and we have wonderful programs of art, dance, plays. And I'm in charge of a program called Food is Art, and we're doing all sorts of interesting things at a very low cost just to bring the food to the public.
Now, who is the Mexican Cultural Institute aimed at? Is it aimed at non-Mexicans or just promoting Mexico, or Mexicans who are living in the city?
To both. And you know, the most interesting thing is that every time we have an event, half of the people are young couples, Latins and Mexican Americans, and half of the people are old, sort of expats, people who love Mexico and are American.
There was a time when Mexico was one of the most popular tourist destinations for many Americans. And now I think all you hear is San Miguel de Allende. Some people still go there. But it was also the home of some of the world's most celebrated artists, like Rivera, Kahlo, Orozco, Siqueiros, Tamayo, Covarrubias. All of them had real influence in this country. And did that all end in the 40s and 50s?
No. Coincidentally, today we are launching a program called Pasaporte that the council created to celebrate, you know, the bicentennial. It's one of the things to celebrate the bicentennial. And in this Pasaporte, you know, there are like 13 restaurants participating, and the first time people go, they get 10% off, but with a chance to win 3 trips to Guanajuato, you know, which is right next to San Miguel de Allende, and which is one of the most beautiful, cultured, and wonderful, you know, cities in the, and because right now they're trying to impulse tourism to the center of Mexico, to the wonderful places. In the middle of Mexico.
Well, you mentioned 13 restaurants. This is a major change in New York. There was a time before you opened up your first restaurant when a Mexican restaurant usually was a Spanish/Mexican restaurant. Nobody Mexican was connected to it. I guess that's because there weren't too many Mexicans in New York at that time. And now we have quite a few that are very good.
Yeah.
And the real thing.
Well, yeah. Some of them are the real thing. You know, there's a lot of fusion and confusion as far as that's concerned. But there are people like Roberto Santibáñez who does amazing things. And, you know,
he's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and Nacho and Dumbo. That's probably the biggest thing. That there are a lot of small restaurants, and, you know, people do carnitas. And it's a different kind of person opening the restaurants.
And now we're seeing real street food.
Exactly.
How did Red Hook become a place to find authentic Mexican food?
I guess maybe because that's the perfect way for Mexicans to celebrate. They like to do picnics. You know, they cut off the area with balloons or whatever, and then they can play ball at the same time or watch. You know, so that it's a natural there.
Well, that's another thing that people are unaware of when you talk about Mexican food. There's a wide range. There's street food, but then there's also a very high cuisine.
Yeah, one of the most disturbing things to me is that it's happening right now is that it's tacos, tacos, tacos. You know, Mexican food is starting to become tacos again when there's an incredible richness of food. You know, I celebrate every weekend. I celebrate one particular region or state and have a menu for 4 days, you know, on either convent food or the food of Veracruz or the food of Zacatecas, you know, different ones. And people come especially for that.
Mexico is the most populous Spanish-speaking country in the world. And so there's a lot of stuff going on there. Is the Mexican government doing enough to present a more complete picture of the country?
I don't think that, you know, it's, I don't even think it, that the Mexican government is the one that, that can do it. You know, I think it's the American press who are just going in there and just attacking, you know, everything that's happening.
Well, there are a lot of people.
Of course.
About 26,000 people killed, I guess, in the last four years.
It's been horrible.
Because, and although the Mexicans blame it on people in this country because of the drug business would not be as lucrative if there weren't so many people here who wanted to take drugs.
And how about the drugs, the guns? You know, the restrictions on guns were lifted and anybody can buy a gun now. So it's, I think a lot of changes are in the works and, you know, everybody has a solution to this. In mind being that people get a passport and a permit to come and work and then go back, you know, because people don't want to stay here. I speak to a lot of people that they say, I want to go back. I'm nobody here. If I go to my village and I have a little business, I have a house, I'll be somebody there. And a lot of people feel that way.
So this image of Mexicans just wanting to come here and steal American jobs, leading to bias crimes in Staten Island, for example.
Exactly. But, you know, everybody's leaving Arizona and businesses are closing like crazy. All the Mexicans are leaving.
Now, my guest is Zarela Martinez, who has a restaurant on 2nd Avenue, 953 2nd Avenue. That's between 50th and 51st Street. One of the pioneer authentic Mexican restaurants in New York City. And she started off cooking, I would imagine, the food that you knew. But you have become really interested in all of the regions of Mexico, and you've become something of a scholar of Mexico. Now, the region, it's an extraordinarily regional country, more regional in a way than Italy is.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like China, isn't it, where you can actually find distinct cultures in different parts of the country that only minimally related to each other.
Absolutely. You know, Veracruz is a perfect example. It runs 400 miles down the coast, the Gulf Coast, and it borders on seven states, and there are seven regional cuisines. Even within Veracruz, there's a cooking of the mountains, which are herbs, flowers, mushrooms, that kind of thing. And then on the coast, there's the Afro-Mexican food and the Mediterranean food of the Spaniards. So it's an incredibly rich state. I mean, culinary tourism is the next thing, I think.
Is that because so many different people have come to Mexico? We think of Mexico as Spaniards and the indigenous people, but there is French food because the French came in and imposed themselves at one point. I found British pasties. There's Dutch cheeses. You see a lot of Asian food.
Absolutely, because of the now. You know, a lot of the sauces. And you know, there were a lot of Asians came to build the railroad after the Gaston Purchase, which never took place, by the way. But in any case, it makes it a wonderful place to eat. Plus, every region has its own products. So, you know, basically the way I describe Mexican food is that the Spaniards brought their products, olive oil, olives, you know, cattle, you know, lard and all those things, and combined it with the local ingredients and cooked them their way. And the native people took the same ingredients, combine them with theirs, and cook them their way.
But you can't imagine European cooking without the things that the Europeans brought back from Mesoamerica. Tomatoes, corn, chocolate, vanilla, chilies, avocados.
I know.
I probably left a few things out.
Yeah, but I think the main one being tomatoes, you know, because that's, I mean, it's in so many. And chilies, of course, you know, because it's in every cuisine in some way.
Can you talk about, you brought some things here, and you brought three moles here. Now, if I speak to an awful lot of people about moles, they say, they'll say, oh, you mean the chocolate sauce?
Yeah, not my customers, though, because I have a mole festival all the time, and I'm going to have one next week because we're doing a celebration of Oaxaca. And, you know, so there we have here a green mole, which is all made with herbs, and in fact, as part of Food is Art, this Saturday, Sue Torres is going to lead a tour of the Green Market. And we're going to get all sorts of herbs and go to a restaurant, Sueños, and we're going to cook brunch. So that's one. That's
now,
one.
What would it be in a green mole? Is this, first of all, there are lots of ingredients in a mole, aren't they? Aren't they really difficult to make?
No, it's just you just have to get organized. The ones that are really difficult are the chocolate ones that have all the spices and everything. But this is you snap. You use hoja santa, which is starting to come in, cilantro, parsley, different herbs, which you can find everything now at the market, papaloquelite, bicha, you know. And then you just use masa. Which leads me to another subject because I'm going to forget about it, is that on the 23rd of September, I'm giving a big talk as part of Celebrate Mexico Now, which is run by the city, on the Mexican Corn Kitchen. And I'm bringing my muse who taught me everything in Oaxaca, Zoila Mendoza, and she's going to be making pre-Hispanic food on stage at the Museum of the American Indian.
There are still restaurants in Mexico that serve pre-Columbian food.
Many. And people are starting to do it here too, believe it or not.
And you can find all of those ingredients today?
Well, yeah. You know, you can even find gusanos, you know, the maguey worms, but you cannot find Mexican corn. That is the one thing you cannot find here.
What about avocados? When people go to the supermarket, there is a wide variety of avocados. Are there certain ones that you would recommend?
Well, Haas or Fuerte are the only ones, but...
Not those green, those bright green ones from... From Santo Domingo?
No, they're not avocados. They're called pancas or something like that. And they're usually used in sweets. But Mexican avocados sometimes are in New York. And they're called the butter of the poor. But whenever the government wants to punish us for whatever infraction, they don't let us bring them in. But when they're here, they're heaven.
The U.S. government puts restrictions on bringing in avocados?
It's like a really strange thing. You know, if we don't obey this law or whatever, you know, we can't bring avocados. So, you know, it's you know, there are a lot of lobbies here. So.
Excuse me. I'm assuming you're going to be celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence on September 16th.
Well, we've been celebrating all summer, and we're going to be celebrating all year, in fact, with all these wonderful things that I'm you know, planning for Food is Art. But at the same time, and people can go to my website at www.zarela.com, and we'll keep you posted. We're not putting them all up at the same time so that people don't forget.
Just one more thing. Many people think Mexican food is really hot and spicy.
Not at all. I mean, unless you go to Tampico or maybe Yucatan, you know. But the thing is to have sauces at the table. Where people can make it as hot as they want. You know, Mexican food has layers of flavor that explode in your mouth, and it's just incredibly complex, and people don't understand that.
Well, I was told in Mexico that the chilies are really there to put a glow in
exactly.
your mouth, nothing more, not to make you gasp and need a lot of water.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we have this dish at the restaurant where it has an habanero. We tell people, do not eat the habanero, just squeeze it.
The habanero is one of the hottest chilies,
yeah. And people, and invariably guys, will eat the whole thing. They're sitting there sweating and ruin their meal, you know.
But they're making a point.
But they're
making really
a point.
Macho.
They're guys, yeah.
Well, you know, men are weird. I want to thank
Sometimes.
You. I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about Mexico. It's a country that... I fell in love with some years ago, and I'm very sad about
We're going to come back, honey. We're going to come back. Don't worry about it.
And there are still artists who are working in Mexico.
And here, too. And here, too, we have, like right now, we have an incredible exhibit at the Cervantes, Instituto Cervantes, of Francisco Toledo, probably the greatest Mexican living artist right now, based on a book that Jorge Luis Borges wrote on fantastical animals. And it's right there free. They can walk into that beautiful place.
And the Museum of Modern Art had a major exhibit of Gabriel Orozco. Yeah. He is the grandson of the
Orozco. I'm not actually sure about that. He's a very good-looking guy with a very avant-garde art, which I didn't always get. But, you know, he's considered to be a major guy.
Zarela's restaurant is at 953 2nd Avenue. That's between 50th and 51st Streets. And I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about it and about the Mexican Cultural Institute and also about the Food is Art program.
Yes,
which you do with your daughter?
I do with my daughter, and it's really fun. I mean, it's you know, we had a class teaching little kids how to make tortillas, and that was a hoot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you for having me.